You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The United States is increasingly moving away from global institutions in a pursuit of populist isolationism. In its wake, it leaves multilateral organizations founded on the assumption of US support, which many smaller nations are dependent on for foreign affairs, health support, defense, or trade. The World Trade Organization is facing such pressures now, with a looming threat of US exit following similar policies curbing the organization's influence. To discuss what the WTO is, how dependent it is on US support, and what it could mean for a changing global society if the US withdrew, I spoke to Professor of Law at the University of Auckland, Jane Kelsey. So to start us off today, I guess for people who don't really know that much about it, what is the World Trade Organization and what does it do?
As part of what we here talked about as the rules-based system that operates in the world, one of those systems is the rules by which countries trade with each other. And that's meant to enable countries to import and export stuff without taxes or other obstacles into and out of other countries. Now, that sounds very, very dry, but in reality, the World Trade Organization, which runs the system of rules, is kind of a big global constitution that is mainly in the interests of big companies and big countries. Little countries like New Zealand rely on those rules for things like exporting our dairy products or other things into other countries and not facing big taxes and obstacles. And that system has been in trouble for a long time, and it's coming to crunch point now.
And what kind of systems, I guess, keep the WTO in place?
The WTO is a bit like the United Nations, so it's got over 160 countries as members, and in theory, every one of them is equal and has the same leverage to get what it wants. But in reality, this system of trade rules has been written and rewritten over centuries by more powerful countries. Initially, you know, the rules were less formal because they were the colonial powers saying what the countries they colonized had to do, and that was always in the interests of the colonizing state. Usually they got raw materials that they imported and made the value add of back in their own countries. More recently, it's been from the mid-1980s, been remade by countries in what we call the neoliberal model, which is governments hands off and let corporations and so-called markets rule. And that benefits the big corporate players, not just in areas like agriculture or industrials like making motor cars, but the US insisted that there also be rules that allowed its big entertainment companies, pharmaceutical companies and so on, have protections for their intellectual property, protections for investments in other countries, protections more recently for the big tech players on data and so on. So it's kind of a global set of rules that is run by an institution that in theory everyone is equal, but in practice big countries and their companies are the ones that benefit from the rules.
And the US has had a big role in shaping how the WTO operates, but recently it's been pulling away from multilaterals and similar organisations. What's the balance like there?
Well, the irony is that the US in the 1980s, when the negotiations happened setting up the World Trade Organization, set the agenda and everyone basically jumped to it. So what it's been operating on since the mid-90s, when the World Trade Organization was formally set up as an institution, the US thought would work to its benefit. Now it's decided that it doesn't work to its benefit, partly because China, which the US was keen to bring into the WTO, has actually blossomed And the US says, oh, it hasn't broken the rules and the situation's not working, and so we need to change the rules. But also that neoliberal model, the model where the rich got richer and the corporations got richer and all of the safety nets for ordinary people were stripped away, has created a domestic backlash in the US as well. I mean, that's the kind of populism you see supporting Trump, but also the populism you see in other places, the protests against these big agreements and so on, including here on the TPPA. And so the US has said, oh, this doesn't work for us anymore, so we want to remake it, and this is how it has to be remade. So it once again serves our interests as the biggest player in the world. And if you don't like what we're doing, then there is kind of a veiled threat that it'll pull out and collapse the whole thing.
And do you think that's likely? I mean, multilateral organisations collapsing without US support. We've seen the UN struggling a bit financially in the past year. We've seen the WTO looking shakier. Do we think these multilateral organisations will continue to have US support and without it will continue to exist?
Well, we've already seen the US recently pull out of over 60 international organisations. It hasn't pulled out of the WTO. What it's done instead, its representative to the WTO in December circulated a memo that basically said, this is the way the rules have to be rewritten, otherwise the WTO will become even more irrelevant. So they've got a ministerial conference coming up in Cameroon in late March, and the question's going to be, are the other countries, including New Zealand, going to jump to Trump's tune, or are they going to push back against it to defend the system that is clearly currently failing, or are we going to have a discussion about something else? Our government is very much in the, oh, let's try and rescue the system, because we're still a very neoliberal country that doesn't think easily about new ways of doing things. But it's important as well, I think, to mention one other thing, which is that whilst we're all very focused on Trump and Trump throwing grenades into international organisations, the US has actually been white-anting the WTO now for the last 10 to 15 years. So it's completely disabled the court system in the WTO by refusing to appoint new judges to the appellate body there, so that's dysfunctional. It's stymied a new round of negotiations that were supposed to benefit developing countries. It's, as we've seen, not just with these Trump tariffs, but earlier ones, that Biden continued disobeying some of the basic rules about how you impose those kind of tariffs. And it's even demanding, and has for a long time, that a special rule about national security is completely self-judging. So the US can say, this is a national security issue, no one can question it, and so the whole so-called rules-based system goes out the window. That's not just Trump, that's been happening for some time. So what we're seeing is the extreme version of this, where Trump is not even pretending any longer to operate by the rules. And that poses for countries like New Zealand and others who are deeply embedded in this so-called rules-based system a massive challenge.
And obviously there's huge risks with the WTO potentially going away, but you also mentioned the flaws within the organisation, and especially the flaws that have come from the US taking such a leadership position there. Is there an opportunity here for rebuilding global trade and rebuilding these relations from the collapse of an organisation like the WTO in maybe a more equitable way and maybe a way that benefits growing nations more?
The most certainly is that opportunity. The difficulty that we have is that governments are... How do I put it? Governments are so deeply embedded in the thinking of the last 30 years, and certainly ministries like our Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade and our both our trade minister and the opposition's trade lead trade spokesperson, to get a debate even about something different requires a recognition that the current system is broken. And so getting to that point is critical. And in my sense, the ministerial Cameroon, the ministerial meeting in Cameroon in late March of the WTO is going to be a litmus test of whether they are prepared, in fact, to see that that's an issue. For some countries, poorer countries, they are subject to extortion by the by Trump at present anyway, with him slapping on tariffs for everything. And that's even affecting now the EU with anyone who opposes his plans for Greenland and a whole range of other areas. So there needs to be a zero-based first principles rethinking. But whose first principles, whether it's Indigenous peoples and people who are dealing with the climate crisis and people who are dealing with poverty, whether their interests are going to underpin those first principles, or whether it's going to be the same kind of corporate and commercial interests, is going to come down to us and what kind of questions we ask and what kind of alternatives we make as a baseline for supporting politicians.
That was Professor of Law at the University of Auckland, Jane Kelsey, speaking to me about the World Trade Organization's changing role as the global world order shifts.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.